Thank you. When I mentioned to a colleague that I was going to give this talk on big data, this big data workshop, he sent me this quote that I'd like to share. It's, big data is like teenage sex. Everyone talks about it, but no one really knows how to do it. Everyone thinks everyone else is doing it, so everyone says they are. So one of the, at the Scripps Translational Science Institute, we have two main focuses. The first is genomics. The second is in mHealth or mobile health technology. And today I'm going to discuss a little bit how mHealth data and analyzing that data is maybe not yet at the step of big data, but it's moving towards big data at a rapid pace. So the traditionally, scientists have taken the approach of the hunter. We have a very singular hypothesis, and we collect data to test that hypothesis, whether it's confirm or disprove that hypothesis. If we're going to go with taking the Thanksgiving holiday moving forward, as a hunter, we might go hunt a turkey. And at the end of our turkey hunt, we either have a turkey or we don't have a turkey. But kind of in the modern day science, and what I think everyone here understands, is that the data generation isn't the limiting factor anymore. And so there's many of the approaches that we're going to use will be necessary for big data sources. So the natural next step from the hunter is to the farmer or the gatherer. So we have large amounts of data, large matrices, perhaps high dimensional matrices, or instead of looking for a specific variable, relationship between two variables, we're looking for a relationship between sets of variables, and again at a high dimension. This can be very fruitful, more so than we would ever find in any singular hypothesis. We can find relationships between variables that we have never been expected before, and so we can find this vast, nice Thanksgiving dinner. Unfortunately, if we analyze the data poorly or interpret the data poorly, we can end up with something that's far less appealing, right? You'd be pretty disappointed if you go to Thanksgiving dinner and get a Swanson turkey dinner. So all this is leading up to this talk is motivated by the study that we've recently conducted at the Scripps Translational Science Institute in collaboration with the Chopra Center. And in this case, we're looking for relationships between neurocognitive measurements and cardiovascular and pulmonary measurements. So these are three devices that we used in this study. The top one is this, on the head, is the Emotive EEG. What this is measuring EEG signals based on electrical fluctuations on the scalp. The bottom left one is actually, I'm trying not to be too embarrassing, but I'm wearing one right now. And this is a Vital Connect health patch. And what this is doing is it's transmitting data onto my phone. As you can see, my stress level is at 99%, so that makes sense. So it's working all right. And the final device we used is the Sotera Visi Mobile. And this is a non-invasive device which measured blood pressure continuously. It's not invasive in the sense where once we get a baseline measurement on your blood pressure, we can remove that cuff without having this continual squeezing. So again, I think mHealth data is moving towards big data. It's already very long in the sense that there's many measurements taken on the same variables. That's because this data is in very high resolution. For example, on the figure on the bottom left, this is a EKG signal, and so this data is coming in at about 150 measurements per second. It's also very easy to wear some of these devices in your daily living. Like I said, I'm wearing one right now. And so you can continually measure this data over time, accruing this at very high resolutions. Also, the devices are becoming more and more inexpensive, so you can have many, many samples, many, many people wear these at the same time. mHealth data is approaching big data because not only is it long, but it's also growing wide. These devices are becoming more and more efficient. They're gathering many, many different variables at one time. You might have heard of the Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE. In that case, they're trying to find devices that are measuring many different variables at once. These devices are increasingly non-invasive, so you can potentially wear many of these simultaneously. And also there's a very large market because these devices are designed to improve health outcomes with the goal is preventative medicine. So just going back to the study we had at hand, is we had conducted a study where we had 40 meditators. So these are this was a study during a 25-minute session. We had these devices on people, and we kind of measured the different neurocognitive and, again, the cardiovascular and pulmonary measurements on these people and tried to relate these variables to one another. The general hypothesis we had in this study was that meditation leads to cardiovascular benefit. But, you know, with the farmer, hunt, or gatherer approach that we have with this data, we have a high dimensional look at how these variables interact with each other. One of the main analysis tools we're going to use in this study is dealing with the time series data approach, where we're dealing with the serial correlation or autoregressive modeling between these variables. This is really important, again, because the data is at such a high resolution that we can't kind of assume that there's independent observations going on. And one of the things that I think we, at least maybe not at this point, but kind of moving forward into this mHealth domain, is we need to be really concerned about the width. And some people have talked about these already, but there's other approaches like statistical machine learning. I typically use regularized regression in some of these contexts. And so now when you have long and wide data, now combining these approaches will be the most ideal sense. So this is some very preliminary data we have, and I will go through that very quickly. The vertical lines, the blue vertical line represents the start time, and the red vertical line represents the stop time of a meditation session. And this is just for one individual. As you can see in the top left, we have a general measure of meditation cycle. And if you... this is still very preliminary data. We've collected it about 2 weeks ago, so the statistical analysis is ongoing. But if you kind of eyeball it, you can see that these different variables such as heart rate, stress level, and breathing rate tend to coincide with the meditation rate. So this would say that, in general, this mind-body relationship is being confirmed. Finally, the next challenge we have to go through is, again, like I said, it's very preliminary, so we have to do a lot of the data cleaning, dealing with time syncing the data because we have multiple devices coming in at the same time. Then after that, we can do some of the fun stuff with the data analysis, interpretation, and then sharing the results. Thank you.